Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. All right, I'm here with Quentin Dupieux, which is an amazing auteur and director. And first question I have for you, Quentin, is do you like my deerskin jacket?
I noticed you. I wasn't sure, like, is it on purpose or is it like a coincidence? No, it's not.
I'm also from New Mexico, so it could kind of be a coincidence all at the same time, because, hey, this was already in my closet ready to go. So I'm talking with you, and as a person that is a fan of film, talking about film, and I've made a couple, I think I need to know a little more about film than just having a deerskin jacket, right, to get me started.
Go ahead.
All right. First and foremost, I am a huge fan of all of your work. And I'm going to say all of your work. You are an amazing director. You do some creative pieces. Plus, your music, man. I love it. I've been loving it for a very long time. When I was working at a hip-hop and R&B station in town, I used a lot of your beats as my backbeats when I was talking on the air. So
nice. Nice. Yeah. Good to know.
I'm a cool, big fan. That's cool. All right. So first and foremost, can you tell me about this new movie that you have, Smoking Causes Coughing? Because, yeah, that's true. But it seems a little more Power Rangers than that.
What, you want me to describe the movie?
Yeah. Could you do that for me? Yeah.
I mean, there's an easy way to talk about it is to basically explain that it's a movie about storytelling.
Okay.
I think it's the main subject of the movie is storytelling. That's the simplest description I have for you.
All right. And I do like how you kind of change the way storytelling is done. Like in Rubber, you had the perspective of a serial killer, but the serial killer is a black rubber tire that's going around and surprisingly doing some brutal, realistic, good, god awful murders in this movie. And from there, you've done other like buddy comedies where they're trying to make money out of exposing a gigantic Doberman size fly that they have training it. Where does this inspiration and fun like come from? Where is this all bubbling up from? Where do you begin?
I guess it's the state of the world right now is inspiring, that's for sure. But then to answer, like, I always get this question and everybody's asking, like, where do you find these ideas? Honestly, I don't know. Like, I get all this from my subconscious. So it might be like a mix between my fears, maybe some, you know, like anxious things I've been through when I was a kid. I have no idea. It's all in my subconscious. Basically, I just go fishing in my subconscious and I find this.
Okay, I know you get where asked you about a lot, but more of my interest is how do you manage it and how do you pretend to collect it and put it together? And how do you find yourself saying, yeah, okay, I'm going to do a gigantic fly, but that's a cool idea. It's something that you could run off with, but it's like, which ones, because I bet you have 1,000 other ideas that have fallen to the wayside. And maybe you are even working on scripts that you just realized okay, this isn't going to work as well as it goes. How do you manage choosing the ideas and keeping from getting discouraged from just pulling from way out there instead of going the way out there? How do you put it into that box and start making the magic that you make?
It's very easy, basically. I have all these ideas coming, but I never write them down. Like basically I keep them in my brain. And so I wait. Basically I see which one sticks. And for example, the giant fly movie is a good example because it's one of the most stupid things I came up with. And I had the idea, like, let's say 4 years before writing it, and it was here, and I was like, ah, no, it's not good enough. It will not stick. It will go away. But then it kept on coming back. Like, I was like, when I was looking for a new movie, I was like, ah, should I write the Giant Fly movie? No, it's too stupid. No, impossible. But after 4 years, I was like, okay, if this stupid idea is still in my brain, you know, like, I haven't actually wrote any lines, like, it was just an idea here. But after 4 years, it was still in my brain. I was like, okay, there must be something. I should try and I should give it a chance, because after 4 years, I still remember this stupid idea. And the idea was as simple as that. Like, it was like I had this vision of two guys opening a trunk of a car and finding a giant fly. That's it. And because it sticked in my brain, I decided to trust it.
Are you one that's afraid of writing ideas down unless it just kind of festers for a bit? Because I've realized, for me, whenever I've written ideas, or I do stage magic shows and stuff like that a lot of the time. But like, when I go and think about it for days beforehand, or even when I'm writing an article for a newspaper, I don't actually sit down and write until I'm ready to do it. Do you find yourself just like churning on some of these ideas? And if you write it down too soon or tell somebody about it too soon, you've kind of told that story and now it's in the ether and it's not something that you could like cohesively put together.
I know what you mean. Let's say it's always different, you know, like sometimes you need the writing process to realize, oh yeah, it's not really what I thought. And then you go back but usually, like I said, I trust my subconscious, which means, actually it's like having a baby, you know, this old thing, like, asking someone, are you ready to have a baby? Nobody's ready. You're never ready. You're never ready to shoot a movie. You know, it's impossible. That's if fair. You think too much about it, it's scary. A lot of responsibility, you know, having a kid or even having a dog or even shooting a movie. If you think too much, you're not ready. Same goes for writing. Like, basically, you're never ready. Because you have to do it. So you can't be ready because it's not done yet. You're ready when it's done. That's what I think. So basically, I usually jump when I want. Like, I decide I want to make a new movie, so I need to write it. Yes, what's the idea? Okay, this one, let's go. And even if I'm not ready, because I think you're never ready, I go somewhere. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but I tried. So by doing it, by trying, you make it possible.
So what is your work ethic like? Are you a butts in seat kind of guy and sit behind your keyboard and work for 8 hours? Or do you like have a set time, or do you just sit and try to get behind a keyboard or write and then spit out as much as you can? And then as soon as you feel like you're done, you walk away. And what is it? Are you a 9-to-5 type of keyboard writer, or you do it until you're fresh out of material coming out of your head?
No, like I said, when I decide to do it, then I just write. And and yes, 9-to-5, sometimes at night, when I have something, I keep it. When I have the vibe, when I'm in the mood, when I see the movie in my brain, I don't want to stop. So sometimes I keep on writing until late. Yes, I'm, you know, when I'm starting to see where I'm going, then it's impossible for me to let it go. Like, I want to finish. I want to go. And I usually write in less than, let's say, 3 months is a lot to me as a writer. So usually, you know, if I'm really inspired and if I'm really excited by a project, I can write it down in a month.
Okay. So how do you know when you're done and you put a pin in it and ready to start moving on to the next step? Like, for, let's say, for this movie, how long is it between conception to projection? How long was that process going from coming up with your idea, getting through it, writing it, and then finally getting it on the screen? How long was that? And for you?
Less than a year. Less than a year.
Okay.
Yes.
You have an envious job. I am absolutely envious and in love of the fact that you get to sit down and do art for a living and share interesting moments of your subconscious with the rest of us. So that is something that I just really, and it fascinates me. I just want to find out like what the process is and where that line is between realizing that you're doing art because it's art and then having art because it's your business and your livelihood. Where's that line? How do you dance across that line without going one too far and on either side?
I basically, you know, I have this guide in my brain that even if I'm not thinking about the audience when I'm not writing for the audience, I'm writing to please myself.
Oh, cool.
But there's a limit in my brain like that. You know, like the worst case scenario would be you do whatever, you know, without thinking about the consequences. And then, you know, like the nightmare is you screen a movie that you're the only person, you know, like that nobody can understand. To me, that's the limit of what I'm doing. And I think, you know, I have some limits in my brain because I don't want to live that situation, like showing a movie that nobody will get and being this jerk who actually, you know, does something that nobody likes. You know, to me, this is the worst case scenario. Like as a filmmaker, you need to tell stories. And even if you catch only, you know, like, half of the audience or even 20%, it's already something. But if you catch no one, if nobody cares, if it's, you know, if nobody understands, if nobody's laughing, if nobody wants to stay until the end, then it's a nightmare. So I think that's how my brain settles my writing. Somewhere I know that at some point, we're going to share this movie with some other people. And it's just like music. You can't just make experimental and then you go in a club and you annoy people with your experimental. You know, nobody cares. People want to dance. They want to have fun. Even if the melody is horrible, at least, you know, it has to be groovy or whatever. Same goes for movie. You know, you can't just expose your experimental to an audience. You have to please the audience in at least that's, you know, somewhere.
Absolutely. And a final question I got is, I know every project you learn something when working on a video or a movie. If you could go back to day one on working on Smoking Causes Coffee, what advice would you give yourself? Like whisper in your ear and say, hey, don't forget to don't buy the fish on third day of taping because everybody gets sick. What type of advice would you give yourself on the very first day of beginning this project to tell yourself in the future to help you?
Wow. Interesting. Let me think for a bit. Interesting. Basically, I learned like on the last one I've shot, so something you haven't seen yet, I learned how to use every bit of time I have because I used to, and you know, like when I shot this one, I used to only shoot what was written on paper. And so sometimes when everything goes well, suddenly, you know, like, and I'm known for this in the industry, I usually finish earlier when everything goes well, which is, you know,
that's great.
Often the case. Yeah, it's great, but then I realized recently, like, if I have 1 hour of shoots with a crew, a camera, actors with the costumes, and a set, let's create something new and let's try at least to record something, you know, an extra bit of film. Because on the last one I've done, I did that. Every time I was early, I spent like 10 minutes writing new material, and a lot of it is in the movie now. So that's what I would say to myself on day one of this one. I would say, like, don't forget to shoot until the end of the day, and don't go to the hotel when you're done. If you have 20 minutes, do something.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me today. Quentin, it's just an honor to be able to chat with you about all of your work. I'm a huge fan. I also am excited to see what Flat Erica is up to next, since he's out of jail now. So we'll see how if he's become a good model citizen. So good thing Flat Eric is out, and we'll see how it goes. Thanks, Quentin.
Thank you.
Hope to talk to you again soon.
Bye.